Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome, everybody.
Where are we?
You don't recognize this place?
No, I'm in like a weird chamber.
Oh, is it wet?
A little. I've licked a lot of the stones. There is moisture. I'm pretty sure I can survive.
Okay. Well, as long as you can hear me, I guess we can do this still.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I can't see you.
No.
I'm not wet. I must be in a neighboring chamber of some other variety.
It is one of the 36 chambers.
Oh. Okay.
There's your Wu-Tang reference.
They're nothing to fuck with.
That's what I heard. Clearly,
I really want to watch that show on Amazon that they have about them, and I just never remember to.
If it's a show, I'm probably not watching it.
It looked cool, though.
I've watched more TV in quarantine than I have, but watching TV is rough, man.
Yeah. Outside of, like, dumb things that are just dumb on purpose, those I still enjoy.
But, yeah.
Like, I don't know. All my wife watches is those dumb murder shows. How to Murder Your Husband. I'm like, ugh, I don't want to watch this. You know?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's just IG all the time. Or ID? ID. ID.
ID. Yeah, it's ID. Yeah.
Yep. ID all the time. Yep.
Missing children. Missing teenagers.
Yep.
Supernatural killers.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh, I'm sure that's a thing. Were they killed by a weird drifter with a hook hand or ghost pirates?
That'd be great. Like Unsolved Mysteries, basically.
Man, there used to be a show on ABC with a ghost pirate. It wasn't good, but I remember watching it a bunch.
Huh.
I'm going to guess 90s.
That makes sense. Actually, a lot of sense.
Yeah. If anybody remembers the name of the ghost pirate show, let me know.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, we won't watch it, but we do need to know that these things existed.
Yeah, do some work, please.
Yeah, because we're not gonna.
Mm-mm.
Well, Max, since you can hear me in your chamber, let me start us off with a movie that I had watched for the first time, even though I'd always heard it was pretty decent. I watched Lucky Number 11.
I see.
Have you seen this movie?
I have.
Have you seen it recently?
Not since probably 2007 or 8.
Okay. Well, this came out in 2006, so that adds up.
Yep.
I watched it January 8th of this year, 2020. Your IMDb minutes, 1 hour, 50 minutes. Genre crime, drama, mystery. Directed by Paul McGugan, I'm going to guess, because my writing is awful.
Okay.
Starring Josh Hartnett, Ben Kingsley, Lucy Liu, Morgan Freeman, Bruce Willis, so many people.
Oh, yeah.
All the people in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, really just those people. But lots of good people in the movie.
Yes.
Your IMDb summary. A case of mistaken identity lands Slevin into the middle of a war being plotted by two of the city's most rival crime bosses, the rabbi and the boss. And then that description from IMDb goes on for like 7 more hours, and I'm like, holy crap.
Yep.
I think that first sentence, while not great, is enough.
It's enough, yeah.
It's enough. This movie is so interesting. It feels like a modern-day take on a noir.
Yes.
You're following around Slevin, which is a great name for a human being, which is Josh Hartnett, as he is visiting a friend in New York. He's from elsewhere. I don't remember where. And he goes to his friend's apartment. His friend is nowhere to be found, and it's really confusing everybody. Lucy Liu plays one of the neighbors of that missing guy, and she's like, I haven't seen him in a while, and they just kind of try to piece it all together. There's a lot of things with goons showing up. Mm. He ends up in the middle of this whole thing between the two rival bosses, which is played, one, the rabbi is Ben Kingsley, the boss is Morgan Freeman.
Yep.
I mean, it's just stellar amount of acting here, you know?
I agree.
And to see, it's like not the best movie, but like just to see that caliber of acting interacting with each other is pretty great, you know? Ben Kingsley talking about Morgan Freeman talking shit on Ben Kingsley. I love it.
Yes.
Bruce Willis plays a hitman who is contracted to stir the pot, essentially. This movie, it's one of those movies where once you've seen it, it's hard to go back and watch it again. Because once you know some of the bullet points, it's kind of like, I got to wait a while. I got to forget a lot of this.
Yep.
I feel that way about Usual Suspects. I've been wanting to watch that again, but it's like, why?
I still remember who Kaiser Soze is. I can't watch this yet.
Right. And it's almost like, I got to forget, like, what was the point of Kevin Pollak? That's what I got to figure out. Like, there was a Baldwin in there. I got to forget which Baldwin it was, and then I can watch it again.
Yeah.
Because I love Benicio del Toro in that. He's the way he gives his lines is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Totally agree.
But this movie is pretty interesting. It's pretty good. It isn't overly violent until maybe the later half, but it's just such a unique movie. It really is, because trying to do a noir kind of story nowadays is not easy.
No, there's a lot of misses, I think, in the what they call neo-noir.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie, what always struck me about it when I watched it, it kind of feels, if you think I'm out of line, let me know. But I think it has this air of pretentiousness to it. Like
a little bit.
Like the filmmaker thinks what he's doing is so cool and so awesome. And I mean, he definitely has the goods to back it up. Like you said, the cast is ridiculous. And like just the character being named Slevin, and it's just like it's so like it's such a weird kind of like feels like it's kind of like thumbing its nose at me a little bit, if that makes sense.
No, I understand what you're saying, and I remember when I watched it, I was kind of like, I don't know what to make of this movie. I don't know what to make. I didn't take it as like a pretentious kind of thing. I took it more like just confusion. It wanted to confuse you up until the very, very end.
Yeah.
And even when they reveal little things little by little, you're like, wait, I don't understand why that would even be a thing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that was the whole thing. I think it was just like one giant confusing mess until everything gets sewn back together at the end.
Yeah. And that's why maybe I took it as a bit of pretentiousness, because it just felt like it was just like, oh, you didn't put all this together. You didn't figure it out. Stupid. You're stupid.
I don't think you could figure it out. I don't think there's any way to truly figure out all the points.
Right.
It's just too bizarre in a way.
Agreed.
So, IMDb, they gave this a 7.7.
Mm.
Rotten Tomatoes critically, 155 critics gave it 52%.
Mm-hmm.
Rotten Tomatoes audience, 87% out of 336,000 odd, some odd people.
Okay.
I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
I think it's a pretty fun movie to watch once and never bother with again.
Yeah, I'd probably come in at about a 6 on it, because it is worth watching. You're absolutely right. And there's no rewatchability, and it, like I said, it rubbed me slightly the wrong way.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear what other people think about that. I just think Josh Hartnett's so good in this. I think this is his vehicle for sure.
Yeah.
I just like him so much in it. I'm starting to really come around on this Josh Hartnett guy.
I've had mad affection for him since I saw The Faculty.
Ah, yes, I saw that in the theater. Wow.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to do
who's
a special
this Ashton about. Kutcher guy? Wasn't he in it?
He was not.
Oh. Who was in it?
It was directed by Robert Rodriguez. It has Guy, you know, Frodo Baggins, that guy.
Oh, Elijah Wood. That's the asshole I'm thinking of.
Elijah Wood, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. It's fine.
Yeah.
Elijah Wood's pretty great.
He is
that's
pretty great.
That's the moral of the story.
Yeah, he is awesome. He is like, I've become such a big fan of him with all the stuff he's doing with Spectrovision and everything. It's just awesome.
Yeah, no, he's a cool dude.
I digress.
Yes.
So, I was really delighted to fit in a Wu-Tang Clan reference, because this episode, I have a very, very tight theme that has to do with the, I guess, the African-American experience.
Oh, okay.
So, my two movies are very much in that vein, and I thought it was funny, and I was, like, pretty happy that I was like, oh, I can make this a chamber, I can try to work in this Enter the 36 Chambers reference. Pretty classy stuff from some, like, lame-ass white boy.
You're not lame.
I appreciate that.
You're not lame, white boy.
Thank you. And so my first film is 2019's Dolomite Is My Name.
Ah, yes.
I watched this in November of 2019 because I still haven't made it to 2020 yet.
You're doing good.
My IMDb minutes on this one are 1 hour and 58 of those minutes. The genre is comedy, and I also labeled it as a biopic, which some people pronounce biopic, and those people are wrong.
Very wrong.
It was directed by Craig Brewer, who directed Black Snake Moan, if you've seen that.
That's a weird one.
Yes.
I've seen it.
It's got Eddie Murphy, Wesley Snipes, Divine Joy Randolph, and Keegan-Michael Key. Other people as well. There's a bunch of people in this movie. The summary is performer Rudy Ray Moore develops an outrageous character named Dolomite, who becomes an underground sensation and star of a kung fu anti-establishment film that could make or break Moore's career.
Yeah, no, that sounds right.
Yep. And this is, so, one thing I really wanted to note, and you can, if you've heard of the movies I'm about to name, you'll understand it. The writers, Krasinski and Alexander are their last name. I think it's, now maybe it's Karaseski. It's Polish. It's very Polish, and I'm sorry. They wrote Man on the Moon, People vs. Larry Flint and Ed Wood.
Oh, wow.
So, like, biopic, biopic, biopic. And they kind of were famous when they broke out with People vs. Larry Flint for kind of doing this, or sorry, with Ed Wood, then People vs. Larry Flint solidified it, this kind of like stylized, very energized and rapid-paced version of a biopic.
It's a biopic.
Yeah. And I think they're really at the top of their game with the script. I also think Eddie Murphy fucking rocks it as Rudy Ray Moore. He is so good. It's one of the best Eddie Murphy's I think we've gotten in a very long time.
I believe that for sure.
Oh yeah, he's been doing some stinky poop, stink poop. And I'm glad to see that he came out of retirement to take this part on, because apparently he was interested in it. So it was really cool to see. I put that it's infinitely consumable, a very loving tribute to Rudy Ray Moore, who, while he made a movie like Dolomite, and if you're not familiar with Dolomite, we talked about it way back when Tim did Black Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, he's one of the more famous characters in blaxploitation cinema. But I think one of the things that really keeps Dolomite and the blaxploitation genre kind of, everybody's endeared to it so much, is a lot of what Moore did with that character. And the good dude he was. Like, he wasn't just trying to make money. He would, like, genuinely wanted to make a movie he thought was cool as shit. And it was just such a genuine love of wanting to make a movie you wanted to make that I think is really inspirational. And this movie kind of hammers that whole thing home really nicely.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. IMDb gives it a 7.3 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 217 critics, give this a 97%.
Oh, wow, cool.
The audience, somehow with less of them weighing in on this, 113 of them gave it 91%.
Mm.
And I fall just shy of the audience here. I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
That is worth your time. It's on Netflix. Give it a watch. You'll appreciate it immensely.
Yeah, I'll have to get on it. It's one of those movies I want to watch, but I knew you watched it. So yeah. I was like, I got to watch something else.
It's good. You'd dig it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Eddie Murphy when he's on point. So if he's on point in this,
very much so.
Definitely gotta see it.
Yes.
Well, Max, I think it's time to go to a galaxy far, far away.
Never heard of it.
Doesn't exist. I'm sorry. No, Solo, a Star Wars story.
Solo.
Solo.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Solo. Anyways,
you turned Fog Hat into Pearl Jam pretty quickly there.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah.
Star Wars. So. That hurts. All right.
Yep.
This is from 2018. I watched it on the 10th of January this year. Mm-hmm. Your IMDb minutes, 2 hours, 15 minutes, because it gotta be long.
Sure, Star Wars.
Your genre is action, adventure, sci-fi. Directed by Ron Howard. Max, how you feel about Ron Howard?
I feel like Ron Howard is capable of making very good films, and he is obviously was born and raised in the cinema. I think he is very talented, and I think he is also capable of very commercial, very bland cinema.
That's fair, and I agree. I mean, he's been in God. Since he was, what, like 5 or something, he's been doing stuff?
Yeah, Andy Griffith, I think, was his big thing.
Yeah, and then the Happy Days, and he just never stopped.
No. But he's like Rob Reiner, where it's just like, fuck, this guy's like in a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
And then he found out he directed a bunch of shit.
A bunch of good shit,
too. Oh, my God, Rob Reiner.
Yep.
Ron Howard, no Rob Reiner.
Ooh, but good.
Oh, yes, but absolutely. Good filmmaker.
Apples and oranges, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
Fruit, I'm saying. Fruit.
Yeah. And one fruit is superior to the other.
That's right.
Yeah.
Whichever one you, the listener, like more. Paraguay.
Paraguay.
Starring Alden... Oh, man. How do you say that? Ehrenreich?
Yes. I don't know. Sure.
Alden Ehrenreich.
He doesn't Woody care Harrelson. What we think.
No. I mean, I don't care what he thinks either.
Right.
I'm not trying to be mean, but you do you. No. Alden Ehrenreich, Woody Harrelson, Donald Glover, and Emilia Clarke.
Mm.
During an adventure into the criminal underworld, Han Solo meets his future co-pilot Chewbacca and encounters Lando Calrissian years before joining the Rebellion. That is the IMDb summary.
There you
which
go.
Is incredibly awful, if you ask me.
I agree.
Because you have to assume, even though everybody has seen a Star Wars for the most part, you have to assume we don't know shit. You have to talk to us like we're a small child, and they do not do that. They should say a smuggler or a I don't know, something else. Like, what's a Chewbacca? Let's say, yeah. I don't know. What the fuck is that, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Everybody know Lando, though, baby.
Oh, yes.
My bullet points is, I don't know how you felt about this movie. I enjoyed this movie. I didn't think it was the greatest thing ever, but I think it was pretty decent. I really, really love the introduction of Chewbacca. That might have been my favorite part.
Okay.
Because I wasn't really seeing it coming initially, and I was like, oh, good. You know, there's a reason for things. How about that? But I feel everything else seemed super forced, and just to fit in every little claim of fame Han Solo has had into one movie.
Right.
It would be different if this was planned to be a trilogy or something, of early young Han Solo Indiana Jones adventures, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, sure.
So I just feel like it was crammed, and I don't know if that's intended or not. I love Donald Glover. I think he did a great job.
Yes.
He's just amazing as a human being.
Yep.
But I don't know. I don't know if I scored this correctly, because I'm like, I'm just so torn.
I'll let you think it over for a minute, and I'll give you a rundown of what I think about it.
Sure, sure.
I think that this movie is, when I heard about it, I had a lot of strong opinions saying that it was wholly unnecessary, and then I saw the movie, and I agree with my initial opinion. we saw Han Solo, so we needed to see Han Solo when we saw Han Solo in 4, 5, and 6. We saw Han Solo turn from a generic, kind of smooth, like, badass criminal into a human being capable of loving people and wanting to be a part of something. That's, I mean, his fucking name is Solo, for God's sake, and we watched him become a part of something. That's how important that moment was to him as a character. And then we see this movie, and I just watch it, and I go, why the fuck am I watching this? He's just being, like, pre all the good parts of Han Solo. I mean, I understand the nerds, like, oh, he's so cool, he's shot Greedo. I get it, and he is. He is badass. I'm not disputing that. But do we need this? I don't really think so. Like, there's nothing really great here. My favorite part was Lando Calrissian's robot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, the robot was great.
Meh. For me, it's a meh.
Yeah. All right, well.
Now you've had some time to think.
No, I think I scored it all right. Okay,
great.
I stick with it. I mean, yeah. I try to write down when I to peel back the curtain here. I keep the list of movies on my phone. I write them as I'm watching them, and I rank them the minute they're done. It's all super fresh, how I feel. If I feel repulsed, happy, angry, it's all right there. So I was not super angry with this, but
no, IMDb. Not angry, happy.
right. IMDb gave this the second best score possible, Max.
69?
A 6.9.
Nice.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes got close with a 70%.
Oh, fucking just a mark of shame.
Yeah, I know. 464 critics there. If maybe that one guy didn't jump in, 463 critics would have got it right.
Damn it.
The Rotten Tomatoes audience score, 63% out of 43,000 people.
Okay.
I gave it a 6, Max.
Okay.
I gave it a 6 because I think even though the plot is a little weak and it has its holes, it's so purdy. It's so purdy to watch.
That the train robbery bit of business is really fun. Really fun.
So good.
Yeah.
Right, and it's been, and like looking at all the Star Wars stuff that has come and gone in the past couple years, last 5 years, that was fun. Where a lot of the other ones, not that they're bad, they're not fun like that.
Yeah,
that's how I kind of feel.
That's fair. I can see what you're saying there. I'd probably come in at about a 5, personally, on it.
All right, well, we'll tell you what, buddy. Let's just wash away that 6.0 and make it a 5.5. Let's average it.
Average?
I'm fine with the law of averages.
Okay. All right, so 5.5. Worth, not bad.
It's
not
a bad thing you can watch and not hate yourself forever.
Right. Some people like it more, some people like it less. But yeah. Overall, not a failure of a film.
No.
Let's not hold back the dark.
No, let's not do that.
Okay. You know what we should do?
Mm.
The Right Thing.
Ooh, The Right Thing.
Yeah, I watched Do the Right Thing.
Oh, nice.
See, I had a whole theme here as the blackest episode that I could possibly produce as a lame-ass white dude.
Good job.
Thanks.
Very good work.
So, 1989, I watched it in November of 2019. I've seen parts of it. I think this is the first time I really sat down and watched the whole thing with a critical eye. The minutes on this one, 2 hours and 5. The genre is drama. It was directed by Spike Lee. It stars the recently passed away Danny Aiello, Rosie Perez, Spike Lee himself, and what I was surprised to find out literally today when I was looking up the cast, Giancarlo Esposito, who was Gus Fring in Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was him. I was fucking stunned when I found
out. I'm making my way through Breaking Bad right now, actually.
Nice. Have you gotten to the Gus Fring character?
I'm on season 3.
So you're probably just, he's the guy who owns the chicken place?
Yes, that guy. That guy's fantastic.
Yes, he is. So the movie summary is, a hot New York summer day for Mookie goes from sweltering to blazing when racial tensions overflow at the pizza place he works at. I think it's probably the pizza place where he works, but I missed the word there, so I'm also bad at taking notes.
Hey,
so.
Notes are tough, man. I did. So sloppy. I'm surprised I read any of this.
I'm always so excited to write the part underneath, which is my thoughts on the movie.
Correct.
I mean, we've all heard the summaries I've made up in the past. So.
And some nonsense happens.
That's right. That's right. Yes. I've written some scathing ones, too, where, like, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, where I just go, ah.
I'll tell you, that Scarecrow does look cool, though.
Oh, did you watch it?
No, I had to make the thumbnail.
Oh, okay. All right, good enough. Yes, it does look cool. So
I also like that a lot of the characters from the movie look like the art that was in the book.
Yes, yes. I did mention in that episode, if you haven't listened to it yet, I can't say spoilers to an episode that you haven't listened to. Like, you know.
Why are you doing this backwards? I guess you're starting with the newest and going backwards. That's fine. You do you.
Yeah, but the Stephen Gamble, like, send-up from the special effects team was really cool. Really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyways.
Yeah, so do the right thing. Yes. The level of authenticity is really, really, it kind of is on point, but it kind of pushes it to the point where it almost feels like a cinematic caricature, in my opinion.
Okay. Where it's
so almost too far, but just where you look and you're like, no, that looks just like me, but it's hyper-stylized.
Interesting.
Danny Aiello is fucking great as Sal. He is a white Italian who owns this pizza place that is right in the middle of all this, you know, this really, I think it's Harlem, and I don't want to quote that for sure because I'm not 100%, but it's right in the middle of this very much culturally diverse, a lot of Hispanic, a lot of African-American folks in the neighborhood, and he's kind of a sore thumb that stands out, but everybody really brings it. I think sans Spike Lee, who plays the main character Mookie, I don't think he really holds it together too well, in my opinion. I think he tried to be a bit more understated than the rest of the characters. And even, like I said, the look of this movie is very colorful. It's very bright. I can throw this back to one of our favorites, Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight, because this movie was, all the cinematography was handled by Ernest Dickerson, who directed that film. And man, he fucking knocks it out of the park. And he did not have an easy job lighting this film, where it's just bright-ass daylight, make it look good. And he fucking crushes it. There's some stuff in here he does camera-wise that is awesome. Nice. And it's really good. The art department choices are all really good, and it stands kind of in stark contrast to Mookie, who's really kind of understated, which is, it doesn't quite work for me in that perspective, and obviously it's hard to direct yourself, so I don't think Lee was under as critical a scrutiny as the rest of the actors who had the benefit of him watching and giving direction.
Hmm.
IMDb gave this a 7.9 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 86 critics gave this a 92%.
Okay.
Audience, 73,599 people gave this a 90%.
Wow.
And I am on point, along with Dolomite Is My Name, and also going to give this a 9 out of 10.
Awesome. I like this it movie. When we get some good movies in here, yeah.
And this one's so good. If you haven't seen Do the Right Thing, do yourself a favor and watch it, because it is fucking awesome. Awesome movie.
Very cool. Look at you, Max. Look at you, Max, doing that thing.
Positivity.
Mm-hmm. All that cream.
Yeah, because I'm a lame-ass white guy.